Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Terrorists, like coronavirus, are out of control. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Well, the question is, who's more out of control, terrorists or coronavirus? Depending upon who you ask, you'll get different opinions. Certainly terrorists are out of control, and I'm going to tell you a story about something that just happened. Which kind of proves that. As far as coronavirus, well, you know, how much out of control that is depends upon whether you're listening to someone like Dr. Fauci, who is trying to warn us that it is never going to go into control. We're never going to be in control of it. A little voice and face of gloom and doom as I have been trying to warn about. His face and words of gloom and doom are more dangerous than coronavirus because they are making us all frightened and stressed out. And when you are stressed out, it affects you in all different kinds of ways, physically and psychologically. And amongst the physical problems, it causes a weakened immune system, which then makes us all vulnerable. More vulnerable to coronavirus. So now there are a lot of similarities between terrorists and coronavirus. They're all over the place. You don't know where they're going to pop up next. Just when you thought that you made peace with them, they show that they're not going to make peace with you. Now, I happen to think with coronavirus, it's a lot easier to make peace in the sense of really peace comes from making your own immune system stronger. That's what peace is with coronavirus. Because, and we're all able to do that by one, not letting ourselves get overly stressed out, whether it's from Dr. Fauci or just nonstop television news, you're all gonna die. To doing basic healthy things like eating nutritious food, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, taking vitamins, taking immunity supplements. There are all kinds of supplements on the market, from immunity teas to immunity gummies like Airborne. And no, I'm not paid by Airborne. but, you know, there are lots of things that we can do. And of course, primarily, really, not only to avoid stress, but to purposely do things to help yourself get stress-free, whether that's meditation, listening to calming music, new age music, classical music, getting a pet. I'm so happy to see this is like continuing. I have been recommending on all the various media interviews I've been doing about coronavirus, I have been recommending from day one that people go to shelters and adopt a pet. And it has been amazing. I mean, I'm not taking credit for all of the adopted pets. I'd like to think I did contribute to a few. It's been amazing that so many pets, so many shelters are out of pets because so many people have adopted them to keep them company during coronavirus. And not only keep company, but also when you have somebody or a pet who depends upon you, it makes you take care of yourself more. So there are really things and ways that we can make peace with coronavirus a little more than peace with the terrorists. Now, why am I talking about that today? Well, we have just seen an eruption of terrorists, although it is not definite at this point as I'm talking to you right now. Perhaps you'll be hearing this after they have figured out who did it, who done it. But there was an attack in Afghanistan at a maternity hospital in Kabul. Really sad, I'll tell you about it. Why it's particularly sad and how it goes along with this idea that you don't know where the next one's gonna pop up. And just when we thought we had created peace, the terrorists, you know, pop up. And that is because in Afghanistan, the United States helped to broker a peace deal. And there had already begun to be an exchange of prisoners, just the very beginning. Not all the prisoners that were supposed to be exchanged had been exchanged, but some of them had from both sides. And there were supposed to be peace talks starting. You know, there were peace talks and then this exchange of prisoners, and then that's the next phase of peace talks that were supposed to begin. And now, lo and behold, there was this attack on an Afghan hospital and also a funeral. I'll tell you about that. So there goes the peace, there goes the peace plan. This maternity clinic that was attacked in Kabul, they killed at least 16 people, including two newborn babies. And then there was a suicide bomber who killed at least 24 other people at a funeral. Now, there's a question. The Taliban, you know, and that was who the peace plan was made with, that the U.S. brokered, it was with the Taliban and Afghanistan. The Afghan president, there is some question as to who these terrorists were. You know, the Taliban is denying that it was them, and there's a possibility, there are some people who are saying it was ISIS, although ISIS hasn't really stepped up and said that it was them, that these people were, you know, ISIS devotees. So we don't know yet, again, as of right now, because this just happened, we don't know who, but, you know, since there is this question mark, unless they're able to finally figure out who it is, that is going to stall, it has already stalled the peace plan. So, because Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has ordered a resumption of a full offensive against the Taliban and other militant groups, because he's not taken any chances. And the chair of the Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission said, these newborns, among the first voices they heard on the first day of their lives was the sound of gunfire. And among their first experiences being targeted in a war they and their mothers had no part in. Isn't that sad? And that's kind of like coronavirus, where people are dying or getting sick who, you know, through no fault of their own for the most part. Now, even though the Taliban has said that they were not responsible for either of these attacks, they haven't condemned the bloodshed at this Kabul hospital. And there's word that perhaps the Taliban is having other people, other terrorists, do their dirty work. And that was one of the things that made this peace plan, such as it is, or was, as they were putting that together, one of the questions and problems was, are the Taliban going to just have other terrorists fight their battles for them? You know, they can pretend to be innocent, it's not them, and then really they're going to be in cahoots with other terrorists who are gonna do these attacks. So it was a 100-bed hospital, three gunmen burst inside, began shooting, apparently indiscriminately. As soon as they reached the doorstep, they started firing, and four mothers were killed in the room. Then there were actually a number of people who were saved evacuated before they were killed. And so two babies were killed and 14 adults, mothers and nurses. And then the funeral was of a police commander who had died in the night of a heart attack. And then people, you know, came to his funeral, and some so far unnamed terrorists, suicide bomber, attacked there. Now, these three gunmen who came into the hospital were dressed as police officers, and then when they stormed the maternity hospital. And, you know, it's just so sad, and it's so similar to coronavirus. You know, we're trying to stamp out terrorists, we're trying to stamp out coronavirus, and they are somewhat resistant to being stamped out. And then actually there was a third attack in Afghanistan because a bomb was planted under a cart in a market, and that killed a child and wounded 10 more people, and no group claimed responsibility for that one either. Now, one of the reasons why they're suspecting ISIS or someone connected to ISIS for these various attacks is because ISIS did claim responsibility for a series of attacks across Kabul on the day before the hospital and the funeral and this market were attacked. So now this, of course, is particularly devastating because Afghanistan, just like every other country just about, is facing coronavirus. And, you know, this is exactly what I've been talking about in previous podcasts about how ISIS and terrorists in general are seeing both Ramadan and coronavirus. Ramadan is only a month, but coronavirus is some indefinite amount of time. They're seeing that as distracting. They're seeing coronavirus as distracting Westerners being a perfect time to attack, and they're seeing Ramadan as a perfect time to attack because you get double points for being a martyr if you perpetrate an attack during Ramadan. So that is the story of Afghanistan. When we come back, I'll tell you about some other examples of situations related to terrorism and coronavirus, and we will see some of the interesting ways in which they interact. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about terrorists like coronavirus are out of control. Now, I was just telling you about these horrible attacks in Afghanistan, which unfortunately have derailed a peace process that had begun through the interception, through the help of the U.S., before it could really get started, other than they're having exchanged some number of prisoners, which, you know, I had said already was a questionable thing to do, putting so many Taliban out into the world. But in any case, they had just begun to exchange prisoners when now there were these three attacks today. And so far, nobody has claimed responsibility. But the Taliban, you know, it's the Taliban that was involved in the peace process. They are not saying, they're denying responsibility for these attacks, but they're not exactly condemning the attacks. All right, the point of this, they're out of control, they're popping up everywhere, and I'm going to tell you a few more places where terrorists are popping up just in this same week, essentially. I'm going to talk about Spain, I'm going to talk about Italy, and I'm going to talk about the United States. Okay, let's look at Spain. As you will hopefully remember, or you can go back and hear, I talked about Europe's most wanted terrorist, how he was just recently captured in Spain. That was Abdel Majed Abdel Barry. He was the Ethiopian-born British rapper turned Islamic State extremist. And he, I was talked about how he use the coronavirus lockdown, both by using that as a way to not arouse suspicion by just staying in this rented apartment, and also using a mask when he did go out, which wasn't very often. But he was identified by his rather elfin ears. And that is how he was caught. And then, of course, when the police raided the apartment, they took fingerprints and got further identification that it was indeed Abdel Barry. If you haven't heard that podcast, do go back and check it out. Because it was very interesting, but also because today I'm going to mention about another terrorist who the Spanish police caught, and it is related to coronavirus, but in a different way. This terrorist, as of yet unnamed at this time, but he is an ISIS, a lone wolf dedicated to ISIS. And he was caught in Spain just in time to prevent an attack. Now, he made use of coronavirus, or actually not necessarily made use, but he hit coronavirus in an opposite way. The fact that there was coronavirus and a lockdown made it easier for him to be caught. He was a Moroccan man. He was caught by police. He was detained in a dawn raid, just like the previous Abdel Barry. It was a dawn raid, and after surveillance. Now, he was caught, he was noticed, he was under surveillance too, to some degree, because he was considered a, quote, profoundly radicalized, unquote, ISIS follower. Now, he was caught because since there is this lockdown in Spain, it is easier to see, to notice people who are walking around in the streets. And he was noticed to be walking around looking for what seemed like, and now that he was caught, and more investigation has been done, it seems more definitely, that he was trying to scope out a target for a terror attack. He's a Moroccan man. He has been radicalized and linked to ISIS for at least 4 years, but he had been able to keep a low profile online and offline until recently. Unlike Abdel Barry, he went walking around in the streets, making himself, both of them, these are the mistakes that fortunately allow the police and the counterterrorism organizations to catch these guys. The investigators noted a, quote, striking and worrying, unquote, change in the man's behavior after the state of emergency was declared by the Spanish government on March 14th. So when he was, out and about more, breaking the lockdown restrictions, and plus they found that he was using elaborate security measures to try to avoid these surveillance officers. So they noticed this odd behavior, and that got their attention. And as he was going around Barcelona, and that's how he got caught. He was caught in central Barcelona in an area that is popular with tourists. Okay, let's go to Italy. This is a very sad story. Really disgusting, actually. This is not unique. You may have also seen some, this particular story is unique in itself. But there are more and more stories, as you may well be aware, of migrants in Europe who have been doing all kinds of criminal kinds of things, but particularly rapes. It just boggles my mind that the European countries have been allowing in so many migrants, and because of, you know, because of a number of sociological and psychological factors, including the fact that where they come from, life is not as civilized as the European countries that they are going to, plus the fact that they are sort of estranged, you know, they feel like they're people are not exactly, well, the people, not everybody is welcoming them in. They feel like they're on the borders of society, which they are for the most part, although many countries have done so much. I mean, besides, of course, paying for them to live, you know, giving them social services. But even more than that, many European countries have done so much to welcome them, to teach them the language, to try to teach them the language, to try to keep teach them trades, all kinds of things. And yet most of these people, many of the migrants, I won't say most, but many of the migrants don't want to learn the European language and don't really want to work if they can get social services, and aren't getting blending in, doing anything to blend into the society. They just want to keep their culture. And there have been a lot of rapes, and I keep wondering when these countries are going to learn their lesson. I was actually just reading something about Poland, who actually has been very much more aggressive in terms of not letting in immigrants, and they have managed to escape some of these problems. So, without further ado, to go to this story, there was a migrant from Senegal who was arrested for an alleged rape in Naples. It's not really so alleged. I mean, there is video of it in Naples, Italy. And what makes it really disgusting, I mean, any rape is disgusting, but what makes it really disgusting is that it was a rape of a nurse who had just gotten off duty. She was a nurse in a psychiatric clinic or hospital. And it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. There is video of this. Unfortunately, I mean, it was broad daylight, but there weren't many people around. She had only seen one other person. She called out, it was a woman. She called out to the woman, and she said the woman didn't hear her. But, you know, did the woman not hear her, or did the woman not want to come near her, seeing her being raped by this Senegalese man? And not want to get raped herself. In any case, this nurse is 48 years old. She had left work at a Naples hospital. It was at a bus stop behind the Naples main train station. I mean, it wasn't out in the woods, you know, but it was fairly deserted because of coronavirus. And the man kept repeating to the nurse, "Let me do what I want or I'll kill you. Stand still and don't scream." Because when she first saw him, she thought he just wanted to steal her money. And she, you know, threw her purse towards him. But that wasn't it. He wanted to rape her. Well, I guess I need to, take another break at this point. When we come back, I'll leave you on a cliffhanger. When we come back, I'll tell you more about this nurse, this disgusting rape, and all of these things, you know, having to do with coronavirus, because this nurse worked in the psychiatry department of the Naples hospital looking after patients recovering from the trauma of having coronavirus. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about terrorists like coronavirus are out of control. I was kind of in the middle, leaving you on a cliffhanger about this poor nurse who was, you know, putting herself in jeopardy, basically, as all nurses and doctors and other medical staff are doing these days, you know, working with patients with coronavirus. And she went to the bus stop, and there came a man from Senegal, an immigrant, and he started he started raping her. She said, he was double my size and all his weight was on my back. He got angry because my jeans were too tight and he couldn't take them off. This went on for 45 minutes. He was determined, apparently, to get them off as she was waiting for her bus home. And he had jumped a fence and came towards her and grabbed her arm. And that's when she thought he wanted to take her purse. And she just tried to give him her purse, but that wasn't it. So he threw her on the ground. He put his hand over her mouth. She was hoping somebody would come and help her, and that didn't happen. She said he would put his hands everywhere and get angry because I was defending myself. You can just see that, right? You know, she was a woman. You're not supposed to defend yourself. She said something really, really important. She said, quote, they use drones to find people who go to the beach despite the COVID emergency. Why don't they use them to prevent these and other attacks? That is so true, you know? We're having drones going over beaches and trying to stop people from being on the beach, you know, being too close, social distance too close and so on. And here, there, you know, where was a drone when you need one to stop her from being raped? Now, she told him she was pregnant and that he shouldn't hurt her. Now, it's not clear whether she really was or she just told him that to try to get him to stop. But anyhow, she also told him she couldn't breathe, she needed water. He didn't stop, you know. She told him if someone would come, he would be arrested. Nothing deterred him. He kept trying to rip her jeans off. He hurt her back. Her neck was covered with bruises. At one point, he tried to choke her. And then finally, after 45 minutes, a bus came. And the driver saw what was happening and got out and started shouting. And then finally, the army, I guess the bus driver called the army, and they came, they surrounded the man, they caught the man, they took the woman to the hospital, they told her husband, who of course was devastated. He felt guilty because he wasn't there to protect her. And she is saying that she doesn't know if the physical or mental pain was worse. And she is now going to have to struggle to get on with her life. Now, that story about this migrant rapist is on the same page, essentially, as the news of the headline, Italy will give 600,000 illegal migrants the right to stay after government said they proved essential caring for elderly and picking crops during coronavirus crisis. Well, I guess, you know, those who help the elderly, deserve credit, and similarly for picking crops. But I guess the answer is that one has to weed out the ones that have, that are willing to do those kinds of things versus the ones who are rapists. There were these unregistered illegal migrants who have worked in the fields across Italy to protect the food supplies. And while they were doing that, they were risking being arrested if they were caught by the police. And so they're now giving them permits that are valid for 6 months and are renewable. They're temporary. It doesn't mean they're not giving them permanent citizenship yet. But they're also concerned that if they force migrants to hide, that would increase the outbreak of coronavirus, you know, because they wouldn't come to get treatment. So this is another example of the kinds of conundrums that there are in trying to both protect people from terrorists and ne'er-do-wells and trying to save crops and so on. All right, here's the final story about terrorism and coronavirus. There is a man called Taharwar Rana, and he is in jail in California. He is a terrorist. He was convicted in a major terrorism case in Chicago. And he tested positive for coronavirus, and he is asking to be released from prison. You know, it's he is 59 years old. He's doing time in a California federal prison, and his lawyer filed filed something in court saying that he's tested positive and asking for him to be released. Now, he was a travel agent in Chicago, and he was convicted of ties to a Pakistani terror organization. This is the group that was responsible for a deadly siege on Mumbai, India in 2008. You may remember that. It was a horrendous attack where more than 160 were killed. And he is less than a year and a half from the end of his sentence. The prison is reportedly heavily infected. And he's saying that his life is at risk and he wants out early from behind bars. You know, why it's so difficult for these jails and prisons to just separate out people who are positive for coronavirus and people who aren't positive, I don't know. It's really a lot of prisoners, however, are using this, trying to use this as an excuse to get out early. He was charged more than a decade ago with several Pakistani terrorists. They were all accused of helping plot this attack on Mumbai. And he was acquitted of the Mumbai attack, in other words, acquitted of being directly responsible, but he was convicted of supporting the Pakistani terror group that carried out the attack. So he was sentenced to 14 years, and he's been locked up at Terminal Island in Southern California. There are 644 inmates there who have tested positive. I mean, it is true that coronavirus is running rampant through prisons. You know, it's really, when you think about it though, there are so many inequities because coronavirus has also been running rampant through old age homes. And yet some hospitals, like in New York, they just changed this, but it was awful, and in other places too, they were returning people who had coronavirus to these old age homes where, you know, they're not set up to treat people for coronavirus in old age homes. And it is very easy, even easier than in prisons, to infect other people because, of course, elderly people are more vulnerable to getting coronavirus, and it is more serious when they get it. So almost 62% of the prison population where he is are positive, and they've been moved to isolated housing, so that should be enough. Six inmates there have died. And, you know, his attorneys are being rather dramatic, saying he's going to join the list of the dead if his sentence isn't cut short, and so on. His lawyers are reminding the court that he wasn't convicted in any of the deaths in Mumbai, and that his own precarious health condition, he has heart problems and he has renal failure, that makes him vulnerable to catching coronavirus. And so they're asking for compassionate release. Well, we'll have to see what happens. You know, the fact that he does have these other illnesses could be a more reasonable reason to ask for that than a lot of other people, prisoners, especially perhaps those who were convicted for terrorist crimes. Well, all of this, between terrorism and coronavirus, it seems as though the world is coming to an end, but it isn't. I am here to assure you that it isn't. Life will go on. You just have to be very protective of yourself, both in terms of protective from criminals, you know, and particularly protective of your immune system, so that you, if you do come near a coronavirus, you will be able to withstand that, just like if you come near a terrorist, it would be good to be able to be alert and not get hurt by a terrorist either. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.